In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 2, 611, 1899. And Jesus is speaking to Louisa, and he says, "See, I have brought you, Louisa, this globe of light to place it between you and me and among those who approach you." So here, Louisa sees this globe of light, and she's asking Jesus, what does this mean? It's between Jesus and those who will approach you. And then Jesus says this, "For those souls who approach you with an upright heart and do good to you, Louisa, these little globes of light that will come out of this globe in, that Jesus gave to Louisa will penetrate into their minds and it will descend into their hearts." So what Jesus tells us is that he will stand right beside us to touch our mind, to understand what God is doing, and our heart to fall in love with God, what God is doing. He says, "And as it penetrates into their minds and descend into their hearts, they will be filled and fill them with," this is joy. Jesus says, "I give you my joy that your joy may be complete, and with celestial graces, and they will comprehend with clarity that which I, Jesus, operate in you, Louisa." This is, Father Bucci says, "The mysticism of Louisa cannot be compared to any other mysticism of the saints. What God gave to Louisa is unique," he would tell us. He would say, you know, some people say, well, this is what St. Teresa of Avila had. This is what St. Catherine of Siena had. This is what St. John of the Cross had. And Father Bucci would say, no, the church is going to see something different now. With what Jesus teaches Louisa is like the next level, if you want to say, of what he revealed to the saints, the mystics of the Holy Church. And when we enter into this gift of Louisa, when we begin to read this, the things that put us in awe, the things that help us to really turn back to God in a powerful way astonishes us. As Jesus speaks to Louisa, this globe of light, just think of this globe of light, this intellect that Jesus speaking to our minds, our first power, our intellect, our memory, our second power that God has given to us, and then our will. He as he speaks, he's creating. As Jesus spoke, fiat lux, and when God spoke and the universe, all the universe began, Jesus is, as the word, as he speaks, he brings to life, he brings to light, he creates in us a deeper love for him, a deeper understanding of him. And we're never going to fully understand God. It's going to be for all eternity. We're going to be in the awe of God. So he says, it will fill these souls who will do good to you, Louisa, who will come to you, Louisa, with joy and with celestial graces. And they will comprehend with clarity that which I, God, operate in you, Louisa. So this clarity is unique. Each one of us, we understand from our own perspective. And what Jesus does is he teaches each one of us clearly, not to be copies of, you know, Louisa, but to enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So when God speaks to Louisa, we will comprehend with clarity what God is doing, operating in Louisa. And then those then who will come with other intentions, and there are souls that want to disprove Louisa, they will experience the opposite. They will remain dazzled and confused by these little globes of light. And we hear that from a number of people who have trouble with Louisa. And what happens is God doesn't interfere with our free will. He wants to lead us and guide us to those of good will, of God's will. But he will not interfere if there's rebellion, or if there's someone trying to stop Louisa. And Jesus says this is a divine decree. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption is a divine decree, he says sanctification is a divine decree. It's going to happen. And God says, I want you to get ready for what I'm going to do. Archbishop Piccieri says in The Dawn of a Mystery, that's a beautiful DVD if you haven't seen it yet. It's on LuisaPicaretta.me and other websites. What happens is Jesus is revealing, he wants us to know him as much as we can, 30, 60, or 100 fold, as he says, but he wants us to know him. And those that don't want to know him, it would be like looking at the sun. You'll become dazzled and confused. You know, it's like, oh, I can't look at the sun. But Jesus wants to enter us to enter into this abundant life. So the next part, the pilgrimage of the soul in the divine will. The little book of the rounds of the Association Louisa Picaretta. The soul follows Jesus after the resurrection. Okay. Our memory is going to be of Jesus. This is why we pray the Holy Rosary. We pray the Holy Rosary because it helps us to remember Jesus, to remember Mary. Each mystery, we fall deeper in love with Jesus through the loving eyes of Mary. And this is what's happening. After the resurrection, we follow Jesus. It is present. The soul is present at his ascension, and the soul asks that it might sing forever its loving refrain, may the kingdom of your divine will come upon earth. So what happens is we, in our prayer life, it changes. Our prayer life becomes more intense. Our prayer life becomes more focused on Jesus and Mary. We're not learning the prayers of the saints. This is what we did for the last 2,000 years, how to do the will of God. But now Jesus is asking us how to live in the will of God. And we sing, may your kingdom of your divine will come upon earth. This is what we're called to do. The only prayer that Jesus taught us was the Our Father. And he says to Louisa, what he wants us to do now with a deeper prayer is beg God, may your kingdom come now upon earth. Help us now. And if you look at the world today, you can see why our Lord has given us the book of heaven at this time, so that we can really intensify our prayer so that the kingdom can be established on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. So Archbishop Piccieri says in The Dawn of a Mystery, there is no saint in the history of the church that has explained how the kingdom of God is going to come upon earth. And he says, this is Louisa's job. So this mysticism that Louisa is in, it's little by little we enter into this gift. And no one possesses it fully, because to possess this fully would be the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Louisa possessed it. That was her gift. But what God is going to do is he's going to bring this about. So he says, my Jesus, after rising from the dead, you do not depart for heaven. This tells me that you want to establish the kingdom of your divine will among creatures, among humanity. And I won't abandon you for a single instant. So Jesus is saying, when he was crucified, one apostle appeared. One apostle was there with his mother, with Magdalene, with the other women. He says, Louisa says, I'm not going to abandon you for a single instant. I will follow you step by step with my I love you. So Jesus teaches us that this human I love you that we have, he now wants to change to a divine I love you. And he teaches Luisa that as Jesus begins to reign in us, our prayer becomes of Jesus, Jesus's prayer. Let's look at Peter walking on the water. How did Peter walk on the water? How did he do a divine thing? It's because he said to Jesus, take my prayer and make it your command. And Jesus said, come. And Peter walked on the water. Jesus is going to, he tells us, I'm going to make your prayer so powerful. Our Lady says to Luisa, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. What's coming, you have to understand, it's the evil one, he has to leave because the kingdom of God is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. There's no need to be worried or to be fearful or to be anxious or to be complaining or negative. We have to be filled with the trust and the confidence in Jesus. Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return, those are the words of Jesus to St. Faustina, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. We're going to go through some difficult times. Absolutely. Jesus tells us that it's like a birth. You know, the pains are going to be more intense. They're going to be more frequent until the child is born, until the kingdom is established. It's going to be like that, Jesus says. But it's nothing to be afraid of. This is why God has called us to be alive at this time, to go through what we're going through, because Jesus has got everything planned. The kingdom is going to be established on earth, this dust. He says, the kingdom of God is within you, this dust as it is in heaven. May the kingdom of God come on earth. So he says, after he rose from the dead, this is Luisa, you did not depart from heaven. This tells me that you want to establish the kingdom of your divine will among humanity. And so I won't abandon you, not for a single instant. And this is what happens. Our unity, our union with Jesus becomes more intense. Our union with the Blessed Mother becomes more intense. The new Adam and the new Eve. He says, and I follow you step by step with my I love you. And as you appear in the risen state to your mother, and through the joy you shared, I ask you ever more insistently for your kingdom of your fiat to come on earth as it is in heaven. So everything that we think, say, and do, this is what Jesus is going to teach us, is to call for the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. Everything that we're going through is God is in charge, and he is going to take care of every situation. He says, so Luisa says, my I love you accompanies you as you appear to Mary Magdalene. We begin to see one of the main, Jesus says, the main gift that he gives to the little children of the Holy Divine Will is bilocation. But it's not the bilocation of the saints. This is Jesus takes us where he wants to take us. And where does he take us? He takes us to himself. We go to Bethlehem while we're praying the rosary. We go to Golgotha as we pray in the rosary. We go to Capernaum. We go to Cana. We go to where Jesus and Mary are. And this is what, I love you. My I love you accompanies you as you appear to Mary Magdalene and to the apostles. It asks that your divine will be known in a special way to priests. This is what Jesus told Luisa. What I'm calling you to do is to pray that this awareness, this understanding, as Jesus says, this I love you is known in a special way to priests so that in turn they may become new apostles of this era, of the new era. They may make it known to all the world. So Jesus has great plans for his priesthood. He says he must first purify it. He says then purify the world, because this gift is so beautiful that at this point we can't embrace it. So what's happening in the world today is not destruction. It's God getting everything ready. He's working with his priesthood, and he's going to purify the priesthood. And Louisa said to Jesus, "I don't see any priests. I don't see many priests." And Jesus says, "Oh, there will be priests." He says, "Even if it's only 12, he says, "I will use those 12 to transform the face of the earth," basically. He says, "But I will have an army of priests." We're at war. We have to understand we are at war. And it's the war over our souls, all of humanity. The evil one wants to destroy humanity. The evil one wants to destroy the church. The evil one wants to destroy all the world. And Jesus says they can try. He says, but the kingdom is coming. He keeps on saying that to Louisa. Your job is to get everybody ready for the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God wins. We should be filled with, as he says, this joy, this confidence, this trust in him. So he says, this I love you asks that your divine will be known most especially in a special way to priests, so that in turn, as new apostles, they may make it known to all the world. There isn't going to be many religions. The life that Adam had before the fall was the universal life, the Catholic life. So when Jesus and Mary come to earth, what do? They start the universal life again, the Catholic life again. The evil one hates the Catholic life, the universal life. He knows this is God's plan. So what is God going to do? He's going to use his priesthood to bring about this universal life to all of humanity. When you think about it, there's 7 billion people in the world. 1 billion are Christian. 1 billion are Catholic. But they say that 70% of the Catholics don't even believe in the Eucharist, don't even believe that this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. What's coming, what Jesus has planned, is all of humanity is going to enter into this universal life. Those that survive, Jesus says, are going to enter into this universal life, this Catholic life. So this is why it's so important to be faithful and obedient to the Holy Church. Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient, and he lost the divine will. So Jesus and Mary come to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve. And what happens? It's to give back this universal life to the church. So it's very important to be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. So Jesus says this, or Louisa says this, "My I love you follows you, Lord Jesus, in all the acts that you, Jesus, accomplish among your faith, your friends after the resurrection." So Jesus, for 40 days, he got everything ready. He reestablished the 40 centuries of being away from God. Those 40 days represented the 40 centuries. And what is happening now? 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now he says, "I'm ready to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven." And he says, "This is why I have given you the book of heaven, Louisa. I've given you the book of heaven so that you can understand how and why this kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven." So as you read, as you study each day, I love the calendar. As you read, as you study, you're filled with astonishment. You're filled with wonder. You step back and you go, "Lord, you love us so much that you're going to now give us this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigy, this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul talked about at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia." It's "My I love you follows you, Jesus, in all the acts that you accomplished among your friends after the resurrection." And lastly, it invites heaven and earth to be present at your glorious ascension. And the Ascension Day, Jesus says, is a great day, or even when we pray the rosary every day. The Ascension is to say to God, "Take my human will to heaven. I don't want it anymore. I want to use my free will to choose to live in your divine will. So again, what is our human will? Our human will is when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. And I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. And then what happens? You're in confession the next week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. See, what's happening is we're experiencing the battle. We're experiencing the fight. And it's not to get discouraged, it's to draw closer to Jesus, closer to Mary, to really begin to pray this, I love you, that Jesus spoke. Pray this, I love you, that the Blessed Mother spoke. To enter into this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. Why? Now is the time, Jesus says, that I'm going to give this to the world. So he's asking us, how much are you reading and studying and putting this into practice? How much are you focused on this way of living that Jesus says, I have taught no one until now, Louisa. Because of you, Louisa, I can give this to the world. Because you are the firstborn, the newborn in the divine will. You begin to live this abundant life. If you remember, Jesus said to the greatest man born of woman is John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom is greater than him. John the Baptist was the final prophet of the Old Testament. And he says, Louisa, the littlest, Louisa, is greater than him. What God is now going to do is he's going to teach us how to live, not just by a virtuous life that the saints have given, following Jesus and Mary. A virtue or two, but it's to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So we have to go back to Adam before the fall. What did his DNA look like? What was the DNA of Adam? It was the image and likeness of God. What does our DNA say? You have to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. That was not part of God's plan. But because of original sin, this body has to die. Why? The glorious body has to come. This is what God is. He shows Louisa this. He tells Louisa this. And as we read this, we are continuously filled with awe of how great our God is. That first of all, that he has predestined us to live at this time. This is not predestination. He predestined us to live at this time. He chose us to live at this time. He has given us the book of heaven. He didn't give it to St. Thomas Aquinas. He didn't give it to St. Francis. St. Thomas Aquinas, even he showed us, God must have showed it to him because he never finished the Summa. He said, everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. And as you read the book of heaven, as you study this, as God expands our capacity to understand this language of heaven, what happens at that point is we enter into this awe of God. It's just astonishing. So Jesus says in volume one, it is my usual way to manifest my works, God's works, through the priests. What's happened over the past few years, the priests have given up the priesthood, a lot of them, to let the laity do this. And the laity has taken over the role of the priest, and the priests have taken over the role of the laity. It's out of order. So Jesus is saying, my usual way is to manifest my works through the priest. So what does Louisa do? Louisa, her bishop, realizes there's something important. So all the priests are talking about this soul, this beautiful soul. And so what does the bishop do? He assigns to this woman, great saints, as her spiritual directors. And the spiritual directors, like Saint Annibal de Francia, he was the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. So he understood how Our Lady was speaking to, Melanie. And the divine revelations that were there. And so when he listened to Louisa, He said, she is more of heaven than of earth. Padre Pio said the same words. She is more of heaven than of earth. St. Padre Pio said that in the third millennium, he says, the world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta. The world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta. Now, if you're hunting and you've got a scope and there's a deer out there, you're focused. There's everything else is out there, but you're focused on this hunt. Jesus says, what is coming is the world and the church is going to be astonished by Luisa. This is coming. This hasn't happened yet. She's still a secret. What God loves is things that are hidden. For example, the greatest secret, the greatest hidden thing of the Holy Church is the Eucharist. Every Catholic Church has the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus present in the Holy Eucharist. That candle that near the tabernacle is saying Jesus is present. The churches are empty. The next secret is the Blessed Mother, you know, and she's our mother, Theotokos. She's the mother of God. And very few listen to Our Lady. They wear the scapular, they pray the rosary. It's a secret. It's hidden. When people become aware of Our Lady, they make sure that they're wearing the scapular and praying the rosary. They make sure they attend First Saturday Masses because they want to please the Queen of Heaven and Earth. They want to please the new Eve. What our job is to do is to get closer to Jesus and Mary. And this is why through the priests, God is going to do this. He says it's going to be through the church, through his priesthood. He says this over and over to Luisa. Volume 4, 11-17, 1902. And I, Luisa, says, Lord, shall you not make me to come around yourself if you make me fall? There was always, when you read Luisa and you listen to Jesus, he's always playing with his little daughter. He's always drawing her closer to himself. You know, the hugs and the kisses is a father kissing his little daughter. And then it reverses. Luisa becomes the mother and Jesus becomes the little baby. At Christmas, where you see the Pope kissing the Christ child. It's not just something to do. Jesus says, I accept it as you are actually kissing me, Jesus says. I accept this. So the voice of our Lord, no, it is a decree of my divine will to use the work of priests to make you come around from that state of suffering. Now, what would happen is every day at night, wherever Luisa was, if she was talking and she was reaching for, you know, to draw the curtain and Jesus came, she would turn basically into petrified like a rock. No one could move her arm. No one could lift her. And she was in that state until the next morning when the priest would come to her bed and say, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One. And then she would come back to life. And one priest basically said, I don't need to do this. You know, why do I have to go there? You know, this is just a game. I don't need it. For 19 days, Luisa was in this state of like a rock, frozen, petrified, not being able to breathe, not being able to move. And she said it was like living dead, waiting for the priest to come to release her. And this is why we're going to, at the end of this today, we're going to bless ourselves with the protection cross. This is a cross that's used, it was used, when was it used? It was used in 1546 at the Council of Trent when there was a plague. And it's like the medal of Saint Benedict with the letters around it. But these letters will cast the demon out. It's blessed by a priest. And you can find this if you go to Amazon, the plague cross. It's the cross of Saint Zacharias. He was the bishop of Jerusalem. See, the other, I told you this before, the book that you can get for priests is the Roman Ritual, filled with blessings. The power of the priesthood is astonishing, and it's not magic. It's the way God has set it up. So with the blessings of the priest, great things happen. And this is why Jesus says, no, it's a decree of my will to use the work of priests to make you come back to your senses every morning. And if they want to know why, let them come to me and ask me. So it's Jesus is saying, I want to enter into a dialogue with the priesthood about you, Louisa. Each priest, he says, come to me and I will explain to you who Louisa is. My wisdom is incomprehensible and has many unusual ways for the salvation of souls. But even though it is incomprehensible, if they want to find the reason of why I'm speaking to you, Louisa, let them go deep, searching, seeking, knocking, finding, and they shall find it bright like the sun. What Jesus is going to show the priesthood, what Jesus has got planned, is the power of the priesthood. And it is to, like I said before, the prisons are full. The hospitals are full. The psychiatric units are full. It's the priest's job to empty them. You have to understand this, what's coming to the earth, the power of the priesthood is going to be shown, Jesus says. It's the person that's in charge of the town is not the mayor. The person is in charge of the town is not the chief of police. The person in charge of the town is the priest. He is the pastor of all the souls in that parish. Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, atheists. He is the pastor of all the people there. And it's his responsibility to bring all the people of his parish to heaven. And if one soul doesn't make it to heaven, Jesus is going to say to that priest, why isn't this soul in heaven? What did you do, or what didn't you do to bring this soul to heaven? See, that's why the saints have said the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests and the crushed skulls of bishops. They have a terrible responsibility before God. They are to lead and to guide and to bring all the souls that are in their parish to heaven. So this is why the priest brings the sacraments and the sacramentals. This is, Jesus says to Louisa, the medicine that I have given to heal people, to bring them back to God. Jesus says very, very clearly, if they want to know why, let them come to me and ask me, why Louisa? And then read what Jesus tells us about Louisa. Louisa never wanted to talk about herself. She was too humble. Like a lot of times when you're reading, Jesus will say to her, now, you know, the soul who's living in the divine will. And she'd go, who is this person? And Jesus would say to Louisa, don't you understand? It's you. And then Louisa would say to Jesus, you're joking with me. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. It's what Louisa has. She's the littlest in the kingdom. The smallest is Our Lady. The most humble is Our Lady. The one that's next is the little daughter of the divine will, next to the mother and the queen. So Jesus says this, my divine wisdom is incomprehensible and has many unusual ways for the salvation of souls. But even though it is incomprehensible, if they want to find the reason, let them search, let them knock, let them seek, and they will find it bright like the sun. this globe of light that Jesus gives to Louisa, we're going to understand what God has done. He basically says this to Louisa. When Adam sinned, when Adam fell, humanity lost the image and likeness of God. Through holy baptism, we are entering into the image of God. Through this gift of the divine will, we're going to enter into the likeness of God. And Jesus says this. He says that finally, I have a soul. I have a human born of original sin who I can give this gift of the divine will back to this soul. That's Louisa. So she could give it to all the world. The first soul that she gives it to is the man with the keys. The Pope. God has it all planned. The first person that receives this gift who will work with Louisa has the keys to the kingdom. God planned this 2,000 years ago by giving the keys to Peter. And what God is going to bring about is this divine revelation to all the world of what the Catholic Church is truly about. And he's going to purify every aspect of it. And he's asking us to be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. So what happens? Let them go deep and they shall find it, bright like sun. Volume 4, 12, 4, 1902. Jesus added, my power, my divine power, extended everywhere and from any place I could operate the most essential, sensational miracles. Yet in almost all of my miracles, I wanted to be personally present. As for example, when I resurrected Lazarus, I went there. I had them remove the sepulcher stone and then I had him released. And then with the empire of my voice, the word of God, I called him back to life. See, this is what's, he's calling us back to paradise. He's calling us back to live this image and likeness of God. And he's making it very clear. I'm going to show you, you can have it 30, 60, or 100-fold. Whatever you want, you can have. He says, but you're going to have to prove it to me, Jesus says. He says, you're going to have to, this has to become your life. You see, he's talking especially to the priests. In resurrecting the young girl, I took her by the hand with my right hand and I called her back to life. And many other things that are recorded in the gospel and that are all known to all. I, Jesus, wanted to be there with my presence. This teaches the way in which the priest must behave in his operating. Since the future life of the church was enclosed in mine. Alter Christus. You know, it's Jesus says, I want to be present in the priest. I want the priest to understand why they have been called to priesthood. It's when you really think about it, the rectories are empty. The hospitals, institutions, psychiatric units, prisons are full. It's the priest's job, and Jesus is going to show the priest how to do this, because it's going to be Jesus in them doing it. He says, I'm going to bring the priesthood back to the way I wanted it from the beginning. He is going to bring this about, and he's asking his priests to begin to understand. It's a glorious thing that God has planned for mankind through his church, through his priesthood. Volume 7, 10, 20, 1906. Therefore, pray for priests that they may be light for the people. So that as the light arises again, see, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The secular may acquire divine life and may see the errors that they commit. And by seeing these errors, they shall feel disgusted to commit these grave excesses and shall be the cause of grave chastisement. So Jesus says that people are going to wake up. They're going to wake up when Jesus says the priests begin to live this abundant life. God's going to do it. But the priests, he says, have to begin to do this. And he says the only way this is going to happen is if the laity prays for the priesthood. The laity prays for the priests. This is a new beginning that's coming for all the world. And the Lord is asking us to recognize the time that we're living in. It can't continue like this. The world can't continue like this. And so Jesus is saying, through the priesthood, through the power of the priesthood, he says the world is going to change. The church is going to change. The people will turn from their ways, their evil ways, and come back to Christ and his church. How? Through the holiness, the light of a priest. So what the Lord is asking of us is he's asking us to begin to understand what this is all about. Okay. To begin to understand what is coming. So what I'd like to do right now is pray the prayer. And this is going to be for everyone of the protection cross. Okay. The cross of Christ save me. May zeal for your house liberate me. The cross of Christ conquers. The cross reigns. The cross rules. And through the sign of the cross, free me, O Lord, from this plague. My God, O God, my God, drive away this plague from me and from this place and free me. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit, my life, and my body. God existed before the heavens and the earth, and he is able to free me from this plague. The cross of Christ is able to expel the plague from this place and from my body. It is good to wait for God's help in silence, that he may expel the plague from me. I will incline my heart to do your holy will, O Lord, so that I will not be confounded since I have called upon you. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw how the wicked prosper. But I have hoped in you, Lord. The cross of Christ puts demons to flight. It dispels poisonous air. It expels the plague. I am your salvation, says the Lord. When you call to me, I will hear you, and I will free you from this plague. Deep calls unto deep, and thunder of your voice, the demons take to flight. Liberate me from this plague. Bless the man that hopes in the Lord and does not pursue vanities and false extravagances. The cross of Christ that was once a reason for scandal and opprobrium, but now for glory and nobility is my salvation. It will drive out the devil and the poisonous air from this place and the plague from my body. May zeal in honoring God convert me before I die, and your name shall save me from this plague. The sign of the cross frees the people of God and liberates from the plague those who trust in him. O foolish people, will you now return to the Lord? Keep your promises by offering a sacrifice of praise and faith to him, that he may free this place and me from the plague. And from those who trust in him will not be disappointed. If I will not praise you, may my tongue stick to my mouth and to my jaws. Free those who hope in you. I trust in you, O God. Release from this plague me and this place where your name is called upon. At the thunder of your threat, O Lord, darkness covers the earth. O my God, make the path of the devil slippery. Make his eyes grow dim and blind. For it is this that you have come, O Son of the living God, to destroy the works of the devil. By your power, drive the plague from me, your servant, and from this place, and may poisonous air leave me and go down into the outer darkness. May the cross of Christ that is full of compassion protect us and drive away the plague from this place and free your servants from it. Blessed the man that does not pursue vanities and false extravagances. The Lord will save him on the evil day. O Lord, I have hoped in you. Release me from this plague. I have made the Lord my God, my refuge. In you, I trust. Release me from this plague. Look upon me, O Lord, my God, and from the throne of your holy majesty, and have pity on me, and by your mercy, free me from this plague. You are my salvation. Heal me, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. One more blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the water of this cross free us from our human will. They live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children, the holy divine will, that they be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.